A man lay dying, wounded and bleeding, on the road which ran down from Jerusalem to Jericho. A certain priest went by and completely ignored him. A Levite passed by and he neglected him. And then we read in Luke chapter 10, verse 33. I wish you'd turn to it in your Bible. It will greatly help you. Luke chapter 10 and verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. We point out once again the lesson of grace in the story of the Good Samaritan and the poor man on the road to Jericho. The poor, wounded victim was utterly helpless to help himself. But the Good Samaritan was equal to the situation, and he was thoroughly prepared for any emergency. He had bandages and sedatives and disinfectants, and even an ambulance all ready to take him to the inn. A salvation by grace is a secure and a complete salvation. This great physician, for that is what the Good Samaritan was, does not merely render first aid, but he sees his patient all the way through to complete recovery. He takes the case from beginning to end. Now, there are many sincere, honest folks who believe that we are saved by grace, but then after that it is, well, somehow up to us to keep ourselves saved. But the Bible knows no such doctrine of works. This Good Samaritan did not go to the poor man, stop his bleeding, bind up his wounds, and make him comfortable, and then leave him saying, There now, I have saved your life from death and given you comfort and strength. Now I'll leave you to find your way home. You're on your own now. Now be sure, take care of yourself, for if you don't, it's going to be too bad. I have graciously helped you, and there's no charge, of course. You don't owe me a penny. But I'll guarantee nothing from now on. Get off the road to Jericho and stay off, for if you get wounded again, my help I have given you is all wasted. But, beloved, that is not how our great physician operates. He made provision not only for first aid, but complete recovery. He did not leave him, but he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Luke 10:34. How many sinners we have met who will not accept the free offer of salvation just because they fear that they will not be able to hold out. And with this, of course, we thoroughly agree. You will not be able to hold out. And for that very reason, you need someone to hold you out, someone to help you. The very fact that you cannot makes it necessary you go to someone who can. In your own strength, you cannot hold out 5 minutes. But it does not depend on your holding out, but his holding on. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. The same Lord who saves also promises to keep. He said in John 10:28, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The great physician takes you to the Father's house, for God the Father stands back of the Son's promise. Salvation is to have eternal life. I do not believe in the perseverance of the saints. Instead, I believe in the perseverance of the Savior. He is not only to save, but able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. Now notice that in our story, he took him to an inn. He took care of him. He carried him in his own ambulance and finally got him settled comfortably and securely in the inn, which really was a hospital. And then he went away. He left the man in the inn in the care of the innkeeper. The great physician has an inn in this world to which he refers poor, wounded sinners on the Jericho road. That inn, beloved, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believers are the innkeepers and employees in this house of mercy. This inn, the church, is placed in the wilderness of this old world, that we who occupy this inn might give shelter, provision, and care to them whom he brings to us. He turns the inn into a hospital, and equips it with complete provision for every emergency. And then he says to us, take care of them. So I read in Luke 10:35, let me emphasize it. And on the morrow, when he, the good Samaritan, departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. When I come again, I will repay thee if you do anything additional. Now, of course, the wounded man is the sinner. The healed man is the saint. The priest in the story is a religious quack. The Levite is an exponent of law work. But the good Samaritan is a legitimate physician. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bandages he used are his mercy and his forgiveness. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The wine is the Word of God. The inn is the church, which is placed here on earth to take care of the patient while he is gone. And the only business of the church is to carry out the orders of the chief of staff. Take care of them. We are keepers of an inn where men and women may be nursed, fed, comforted, instructed, and then in turn sent out to find other unfortunates that they can bring in. Instead of this, we fear that the inn in many cases had been more of a tavern or a theater than a hospital. We have seen these religious inns which were more of a dance hall and a place of social entertainment than anything else. Instead of the prayer room, a dining room. Instead of Bible classes, a gymnasium. Oh, may God revive us to see the one and only primary business of the church, caring for the souls of men. The church cannot compete with the professional caterers or meet the world's theatrical standards and methods. I do not mean to say there is no place for the social life of the members or entertainment, but it should be secondary to the spiritual and the winning of souls, first of all. The church is a place where Christians should be taught to go out on the Jericho Road to bring men and women in. There is a place for social life and for fellowship and entertainment, not always on a strictly religious basis, but it should always be in the spirit of our consciousness of the purpose for which we are saved. And this is certainly the meaning of the word go and do likewise, Luke 10:37. Jesus says to the sinner, come. But he says to the saint, go. We are to go where the sinners are, not expect sinners to come to us. The Samaritan did not invite the poor fellow to come to his hospital. He didn't send a nice little bordered invitation over to him on the Jericho Road and say, you are invited to get up and come to the hospital and we'll take care of you. Oh, no, nothing of the kind. He went and brought him in. We have no right to invite people to come to our church. We only have a right to ask them to come to Christ. We must go and find them and then bring them to the inn, not expect them to come to us. How we have missed the mark and put the horse again behind the cart. We think oftentimes that all we need to do is to open our church door, put up a big ad in the papers. We invite a great internationally known figure, the silver-tongued orator, world-renowned evangelist, author of many books, to have a great revival. We put a 75-foot banner across the street at the church announcing a revival. And then we sit comfortably back and expect sinners to come walking into the inn. Expect dead men to come to us. And when so few come, we blame the preacher or the evangelist. Beloved, that is not the Bible program of evangelism. He said, go ye into all the world. We must go where they are and then bring them in. If I read my Bible aright, I find the early Christians in the book of Acts coming together on the Lord's Day for fellowship, worship, remembering the Lord, and instructing from the Word on going out to bring others to Christ and then bring them into the church where they in turn may be instructed to go out and get others and bring them in to be instructed in turn again to do the same thing, and so on until the end. That, to my mind, beloved, is Bible evangelism. To make the church a closed corporation of sanctified saints and a mutual admiration society where you can feast on the Word, sing hymns, and enjoy your salvation, and let the rest of the world go to the devil, is bigoted carnality instead of spirituality. I do not find in my Bible that the church opened its doors, ran an ad, and waited for sinners to come in. It was a church where they gathered about the Lord and then went out from house to house, everywhere, witnessing for Christ, Acts 8 and verse 4. We all, if we are believers, have some function to perform in God's hospital, the church. I know the objection some will raise. Say, well, the preacher's especially trained and educated for the work, but we're not. Listen, the preacher may be a better preacher than you, but he doesn't have to be a better soul winner. And you may never have been called just as he was to preach, but you don't have to be a preacher to be a soul winner. I know a man right here in Grand Rapids who never passed the fourth grade and couldn't today, but he has won more souls to Christ in a year than the average preacher does in a lifetime. It takes no university training to go out on the Jericho Road to find sinners, and the essentials needed to care for them are available to everyone. Now notice in the story, the Good Samaritan left adequate provision before he went away. I read in Luke 10, verse 35, and on the morrow he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. 2 pence. Just 2 things needed to take care of the patient. 2 pence. These were sufficient to buy the 2 things which were necessary, oil and wine, the same things the physician used to revive the poor man. The 2 pence are the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that is all anyone needs to be an efficient soul winner. If you have special education and training besides good and well, thank God for it. But all that is needed to be a soul winner, to find souls on the Jericho Road, is the oil of the Spirit and the wine of the Word. Show me a man or a woman who is filled with the Spirit and who knows his Bible, and I will show you a person on fire for God and devoted to the salvation of souls. If you want to win souls for Christ, seek first, number one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit by confession of all sin, a clean heart and a clean life. And then second, a thorough knowledge of the Scripture, the Bible. For everyone who is saved becomes so by the application of the Word of God to the heart by the Spirit of God. Jesus said men must be born of water and of the Spirit, the water of the Word, made effective by the Holy Spirit. You can win souls for Christ if you will use the Word of God in the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit. The 2 pence are here. They have been made available. No one needs to lack. And so my advice is, get a good supply of oil and fill up on the wine. It'll make you happy, but it won't make you drunk. That's good wine. Well, as we come to the close of this message and the end of this series, there are a great many other things I'd like to say in this connection. But before we close, again, we want to follow our custom of making these things intensely practical to each one of our hearts and to the saints of God first. Our great physician has gone back into heaven, but he is coming again. Before he left us adequate supply that we might take care of the commission, oil and wine, 2 pence. But he also said before he left, when I come again, I will repay you. Anything over and above that takes special effort is going to be rewarded by the great physician. Now, he doesn't need to do that, but he does imply that when he comes again, he will reward us if we faithfully devote ourselves to his commission. He has not only given us orders, go ye into all the world, but he has left us an example, and he said in John 20 and verse 21, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Read the story of the great physician, the Good Samaritan, on the road to Jericho, and you have the example for effective soul winning. Oh, beloved, I'm so conscious of the fact that soon he is coming again, and he's coming for an accounting and give a reward for faithfulness. But be not deceived. That servant who knew his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. Oh, that we as Christians might recognize the urgency of the hour and the desperate need in the world today and the nearness and the imminency of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems to me we would bestir ourselves and not rest until we had done our utmost and expended the last bit of our strength in winning men and women for Christ, and especially our own loved ones, our children, our boys and girls. Some of you listening in now with a broken heart have sons and daughters on the Jericho Road. And how little concern we often have. Oh, may God stir our hearts and heed his call. And sinner, lost without grace, receive him now. And remember that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.